Hi, my name's Peggy. I'm an addict.
Hi, Peggy.
Hi, family. Is everybody awake this morning?
Yeah.
How about your spirit? That's a good title for this convention. I'm so grateful for Narcotics Anonymous because I'm truly blessed. I remember when I first came in here, every time I opened my mouth for the first 6 months, I busted out crying because I had held in those feelings for so long that they were starting to come out a little bit at a time. I was thinking about this meeting being at 9 o'clock in the morning. I said, man, they must be some serious step working, serious recovering people there to hear step five first thing in the morning at 9 o'clock. So give yourself a little credit for that. I was thinking where I'd be 9 o'clock in the morning if I was still using. I would be on the beach sleeping, or I would be in a car passed out, or in a hotel room passed out, or whatever. I would not be up at all. So, you know, and I definitely would not be speaking at a Narcotics Anonymous convention because I did not want to talk to anybody. I was in total isolation, and I hated being around people. It wasn't really that I hated people. It was that I hated myself. So, you know, I love the steps. I work the steps. I need to work the steps more. I never can stop working the steps, and I realize that. And I like to go all the way through them and write them every once in a while in my recovery and see what more, you know, is revealed to me. I'm going to really talk about the first time I did the fifth step because first, and then I want to share the last time I did the fifth step. Because both of those times, my higher power revealed to me some very important lessons in my life that I need to carry with me the rest of my life. These are the things that keep me using. These are the things that keep me an enemy of myself. These are the things that want to take me out of here, that cause the feelings, that cause me want to use. All this disease wants to do for me is back me in a corner and tell me I have no other choice but to pick up. And a lot of times along with that feeling is, this is my thought pattern. Pick up, kill someone, and then use. I mean, and then kill myself, right? You know, I mean, the three things at once. It's like, it's not just like kill myself, you know? So it's very powerful, and I realize that today, and I give it a lot of respect. But I also have a partner in this, my higher power and the fellowship, that I can rely on, you know, my higher power at all times, and the fellowship, I can reach out and call someone at any time and know that they're there. And if they're not, like if I'm at work and I have a problem, I can talk to my higher power, and I've learned to rely. It does say that there will be a time when no one's around and you will need that higher power. And if I ask for help, I will be able to receive that help, which is so important in the first step. Just being able to open my mouth at first and ask for a ride, ask for help, ask, I don't know how to stay clean. How can I stay clean? So, you know, building up to the fifth step, I went through the first step. It was very traumatic. I almost died and blah, 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 you know. But I had like a feeling we're all the same. But anyways, I felt that God hated me when I got here, and I had no spirituality. And today I know that I'm a survivor, not a victim. And I learned that through working the steps. When I was a child, I was raised in Catholic school, and we were very religious. And my family used to count the money. My mother was very involved in the church. We used to count the money on Sundays, you know, at our dining room table. So we'd come home, the whole family would sit down, and, you know, they'd throw the bags of money on the table, and the money was piled up like this, and our whole family would sit there and count it all day long. And, you know, wrap it up and put it in these bags. Okay, I'll get back to that in a minute. Anyways, I went to Catholic school, and so, you know, God is very important, and I knew that, but I heard, like, some really weird stuff, like, you know, you're 7 years old, go to confession. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm 7 years old, like, how many sins did I commit this week, you know? I couldn't believe, like, so I would lie, you know, I would lie to fit in, and I would say, I must be a sinner, that's what they tell me, you know, so I gotta confess, you know, so I would, you know, so I really had some, like, as a child, I had some really, like, conflicting thoughts and feelings about what I was going through. Like, this doesn't feel right, you know? Today I learned if it doesn't feel right, it probably isn't, you know? But I didn't know that as a child. So anyways, when I was 10 years old, I was abused sexually by the priest of our church who represented God to us. And that's pretty screwed up, you know? And I've gone through a lot. I could not share that in a meeting until I heard a young man share that in a meeting. And I was probably 7 years clean when I heard that. And after the meeting, you know, I got his phone number and I called him and we talked, and he's just an awesome person. You know, the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. I felt so much shame and guilt, like it was all my fault, you know, what happened to me like that, you know. And I hated God, and when I got high, I would scream at God and say, why me, why me? I'd go in blackouts and, you know, it was just horrible. So it was like, that was my starting point to come to believe in a power greater than myself. However, when I hit my bottom, I had a feeling of hope. And I knew that it was spiritual, not religious. I knew that it was, you know, a power greater than myself. So, and the reason I'm saying all this is because this is a foundation that I needed in order to continue to work these steps. So many times I hear people get up to step four and they go back out. I don't know if it's a step. I don't know what it is. They go back out. It's very scary to confront our behavior and our lives and everything on a daily basis. You know, we have to look at this stuff, and it's not easy, and it's very difficult. So, you know, we need to practice. I need to practice, and then I become better at it, and I become more comfortable about it, you know. And then it becomes like second nature with the 10th step, you know, continue to take personal inventory, and when wrong, promptly admitted it. Boy, I had no concept of doing that when I got clean. I was like, I will never say I'm wrong, you know. And today it's like it just flows, and I'm really grateful for that. Most of the time it just flows, I'll be honest. So the second and third step, you know, by the time I got to them, I knew that this was a spiritual program, and it wasn't really the God that I learned as a child. And it was okay, because the second step told me I could choose a God of my own understanding, whatever works for me. And being raised that, what I was, you know, I had to go through a lot. And I used to want to hear people tell me about their God, you know, like I want to pick their God because it's, you know, I don't want to come up with my own. But based on my past, I really needed to come up with my own, and it's okay. So the third step, turn my will over to the care of God as I understand him. It was really awesome for me because it really helped, you know, because I had always been in charge, but look where it got me, jails, institutions, and near death. So, you know, I was really willing to work the steps. I knew that they were working in my life, and I knew that the more I worked them, the better I felt about myself, and the less I wanted to use. I was 9 months clean before my teeth stopped grinding, you know. I was 9 months clean before I stopped having drug dreams, and they weren't fun drug dreams. They were like the kind where I'd wake up right before I was getting ready to take a hit, and I'd have to try to go back to sleep to get to that point again, and I could never get to that point again. Or I would have a dream that I was out in the parking lot before a meeting and people were using and the smell came over on me and I went in the meeting and had to pick up a one-day keychain because everybody thought I was using. They were not fun drug dreams. But people told me that was my subconscious working through all of the disease and helping me to recover. It was not about the disease trying to take me out in my sleep. It was about coming to a resolution in my mind that I was clean, so it was okay. So I get, you know, the fourth step, the what, horrible fourth step? Writing. When I first got here, everybody was writing like 300-page autobiographies, and I mean, I wrote so much, but in different things, that it probably could have been that, but I wasn't ready to see all that on paper. You know, I do believe that I am revealed enough at each certain point in my recovery about my past or about myself or about my character defects that I can handle. Because had I been revealed everything the first time I did the fourth step, like I had, if I had been revealed everything at once, I would have like spontaneously combusted or something, because it's like too much. You know, there's too much emotion. It's been held in so long. I've repressed those memories. I've repressed a lot of things that happened to me as a child. So, you know, God takes care of me today because I turn my will and my life over to him in the third step. So writing it down, you know, it was like, it was really hard at first. But I did a real simple one at first, you know, and I didn't try to, you know, complicate it too much. We didn't have the step guide, so I didn't have that. And we had some, like, bootleg stuff that really wasn't approved by the fellowship, but within the area that I live, we all used it. And it was very simple, so that was, you know, that helped me to focus on what I was writing. And it was like all the same stuff. The patterns just revealed themselves to me. And it was about assets and liabilities, and, you know, I had, like, liabilities and no assets, you know. And, you know, I sat down with my sponsor the first time I did my fifth step, and I was, like, so full of shame. This was so much like confession for me that I really trusted this lady. I had met her in rehab. She brought a meeting in there, and she was very spiritual. She greeted everybody in the room, regardless of who they were. And when I saw her at meeting, she was the same way. And I wasn't used to people being like that. You know, I was used to people saying, get out and don't come back. Not keep coming back, you know. So for this lady to be like that, I could just see, like, spirituality oozing out of her pores, you know. And when she told me in rehab she had 10 years, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sick. I gotta have her as a sponsor, because, like, nobody had 10 years then, and it was unbelievable. She's so cool. She used to pick up people, and she lives in Baltimore City, and we'd get in this big van and drive around and pick up all these women and go to meetings and then drive around after the meeting and drop them all off, you know. And that introduced me to a new way of life. I just, you know, had never been around people who weren't there trying to wait for me to put my purse down to steal it, or, you know, whatever they could get out of me, or and vice versa. So she's my sponsor still today, and I really believe that God put her in my life for a reason. So I did my first fifth step with her, and she said, you know, I told her some things that I had done when I was using, and she said, oh, you know, I did that too. And I'm like, oh my God, I did not believe that, you know, that she had done that, you know. I was like, ugh. And I don't think that I had gotten to the point where I could actually talk about the priest thing yet. But I did eventually, and I've been through, you know, I've had outside help on that issue, and I'm really doing good on that issue. I'm very grateful, you know. It's hard to believe that someone could be grateful that something like that happened to them, but I have heard other women in the room share about the same situation, and I have to go up to them after the meeting and tell them if they ever need anybody to talk to, I would like to talk to them about it, because they can help me. So that was my first experience. It was such a freeing experience that I... you know, was able to see the patterns and be able to use that for my sixth and seventh step, and then be able to make my amends list. You know, it's not just about what I did, but about the exact nature of my wrongs. And to me, I mean, this is for me, but I believe that all of my character defects stem from fear. Fear of not having enough money, not having enough love, not having enough of anything, because I'm an addict. So, you know, the longer I stayed clean, the more it came down to one thing that was driving me to do all these self-destructive things, and that was fear. So, you know, that really makes sense for me, and it works for me. So I've heard other people in the program share that that's their belief too, but doesn't matter. Did anybody read Just for Today this morning? Doesn't matter. You know, and I'll tell you what, this program has given me such a gift. I have to share this with you. I told you about when I first came in and how every time I opened my mouth, I would start crying. I'd be like, you know, heaving. I met a woman eventually who did the same thing, and that was so cool. I had to, like, every time she came, I was so happy to hear her share, because I was like, man, I'm not alone. But, oh God, I lost my thought. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. And I know what it was. when I came in, I would open my mouth, and I was so full of self-hate, and I had this horrible, horrible fear of public speaking. And I mean, it took me years to get over. To do this is a miracle today. I do this for me. I do, you know, I have to be honest, I do it for myself. Because I have, and my friends say, well, you have to share your message. And I'm like, oh, but I hate it. You know, I hate getting up in front of people. I hate doing all that. I'm like a nervous wreck. I get diarrhea, blah, 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 you know. So, and I got a job. I put myself through college since I've been clean. I'm a single mother. My daughter was born. Almost an A student, too. Those A's were like a shot in the arm every time, you know. But, my daughter's with me here at the convention. She's 17 years old, and she does not use. I put myself through college. I got a job. I'm self-supporting. I do apply the traditions in my personal life. They work. They work there, too. They work in my work life. I became an accountant, and I have to do presentations lately now in front of a bunch of people who, like, I don't know why, but I keep picking this pattern of people around me that are critical, you know? And it's like, I need to, like, look at this, you know, because it's like they're like my mother.
You can't do anything right. You never will, and you never have, and you'll never be anything, you know? And that's how I feel around these people. And I'm like, well, you know what? I don't care what they think about me. I'm going to do the best I can, do what I like. I mean, not, you know, self-will run riot, but do my job because I enjoy it. Creative action. I like it. I love it. So I'm putting together this presentation. I did like a workshop where I work about how to do our accounting where I work. And they loved it. All the staff people, they loved it. Everybody was telling me for a week afterwards how, and I was like shaken and scared and everything, but I just went ahead. Because that's what I do in my recovery. Even though I don't like it and I'm scared and I'm shaken inside, I share with my sponsor, I share with my support group, and I say, I'm going to do it anyways because I know it's good for me. Because I know that I will get better. So I'm putting together these like graphs and they're real colorful and pretty and everything. I'm being such a perfectionist, but it's okay because I can use that defect. It can be a defect if I let it, the perfectionism, carry over into something positive in my life, you know? The fifth step, admitted to God, to myself, and another human being, the exact nature of my wrongs. The exact nature of my wrongs. Like I said, it's fear. Fear drives everything that I do. Whenever I act out on my disease in another area, it's all driven by fear that I'm not good enough, that, you know, people-pleasing, that I don't have enough money, property, prestige, friends, you know, this, sponsees, that, whatever. And I have to take it a day at a time. You know, I have to ask for help. In my home group, I am, like, not afraid to raise my hand and say, you know, my daughter's acting up and I'm, like, going to kill her. I really need you to pray for me. You know, I'm not afraid to do that today. I have to do that. You know, I've learned. I have such good friends and such a good support group. The lady I was coming down with, she got sick yesterday. And I'm thinking, you mean I got to go to this meeting with no support group? You know, that was my first thought. What's wrong with you? Why are you sick? She laughed. She says, my other friend said that too. She was real self-centered. I said, yeah, I know. We are self-centered. But, you know, I hope you take care of her. I called her a little while ago. We prayed together. And I said, would you please do me a favor and go to the hospital? Because she doesn't sound good at all. She really did not want to miss this meeting, this convention. And, you know, so I realized, you know, it's okay. I have recovering addicts who, if I don't know you, that's okay. Because, like, we're recovering addicts. We know our souls. We know. You know, if you're here and you haven't done a fifth step yet and you're here, that's like willingness. That's like you're opening up your mind, ready to learn, to listen, because you're going to go through the process soon. And it is a lot of fear. It's scary to do these things, you know. I'm like, I don't like having to look at my behavior every day like under a magnifying glass and say, you know, it's really not even about like my managing, like micromanaging our lives, you know, like every action has a motive and blah, blah, blah. It's about how I feel, because that's what this disease works on, is how I feel. Because if I don't feel good inside my skin and I cause like problems all around me and drive myself into that spot where I can't get out of it, that's where my disease wants me to be. So I have been able to, by working the steps and coming to meetings, it's very important that I have my home group as a base and be able to share there. And then, you know, have my foundation of my program. The first time through the steps was my foundation. Now I'm going to quickly tell you about my last experience with the steps. And this is about honesty. This is about standing up in front of a bunch of people that I don't even know and telling you the exact nature of how I acted out on my wrongs the last time and what happened and how I have to have faith in God and this fellowship and this program that it's okay. Because like I said about sharing about the priest thing, that was the worst. That was in the fourth step in the step book. Did you not write anything that you know, did you hide anything? What was, you know, did you leave any secrets out? I think it's the last question, or it's one of the last questions in there. And, you know, I had written it the second time about the priest. Well, this was about, I had 11 years clean, and I found myself stealing at work. And let me tell you, it was about just one more time, you know? I caught myself saying, just one more time, I won't get caught. And if I do, they won't do anything, you know? But, I mean, I'm an accountant, you know? I can't do that, you know? And I was feeling like, ugh, I was like going to the bank to cash the check, and I'm like looking around the cameras. I'm like, it started really getting ugly. I mean, I felt really ugly in my own skin. I felt so defective and so wrong, you know? And I mean, it was like, I was like this again, you know? And I was like, oh God, you know, I knew I was gonna use, I knew I was good. I don't know what I was gonna do, but I was like really nutso. So, It built up. It took a while, and it built up. And I've always been involved in service work, and I happen to be the treasurer of my area at the same time, right? And I was feeling real guilty about that. Like, how can I, like, go to work every day and face these people? Meanwhile, I'm stealing from them. And that's, like, really not one of my spiritual principles. You're like, I'm really feeling sick. So I went to dinner with a friend. And we went outside to smoke a cigarette. I had no intention of doing this, but I go, I stole from my work. She goes, what? I said, I stole from my work. She said, oh my God, Peggy, are you okay? You look really upset. You look really, you know, and I said, yeah, I am. And I feel like I'm going to use or die or something if I don't tell somebody and get some help. She said, okay. I had gotten a new sponsor. She had a year less than me, so now I don't pick people with a year less than me. Well, maybe I would. I don't know. Today I don't. But so I called her and set up an emergency fifth step because I had to share this with her and decide how to do it. Well, it ended up, she judged me, told me I didn't know how to work the tradition. She told me I had to quit my treasurer's position. She told me that she had told her sponsor and that's what her sponsor said. And I said, you did what? You told your sponsor? So where it says in the book that it's very important to find someone that you can trust, I would also say, like, make an agreement about who you want them to, who you allow them to share your stuff with, because it implied to me that you are not going anywhere with it. I don't care who your sponsor is. I did not explicitly say it was okay for you to go anywhere else with my information. This devastated me. It was like, take all the 12 steps, all the 12 traditions and all the concepts. You just violated every one of them for me, lady. You know, I had such a resentment. It took me 4 years to get over that resentment with her. And the reason I'm sharing this with you is that I did not use. I did not use. I had to walk in the rooms, and I don't even know who she told or whatever. I just decided forgiveness is the answer. Love is the answer. And that I had to go to other meetings and share about it because I didn't want to break her anonymity. You know, my sponsor did this. You know, everybody knew who my sponsor was. I had to go to meetings in another area to share about it and get help. And there was help, and people had that situation happen to them. It was very devastating to me. If anyone asked me to do a fifth step, I would make that agreement too. If this is too much for me to handle, can I go to my sponsor and ask for help? Can I go to my priest, or can I go to this or that or whatever? You know, it's very important. That trust thing is so important in Narcotics Anonymous. But I also realized that I do not have to use no matter what. And that was like one of my no matter what, you know, because it was like the worst thing that could happen to me, like shame, you know, that shame and guilt and dirt and yuck. And, you know, I see that lady for 4 years. I put her name in a God box. I, wrote things, wrote letters to her. I worked, I prayed every night, and it wouldn't go away. And every time I'd see her, I'd just get this yuck feeling. And, you know, I have hepatitis C from using it. She came up to me at an area service meeting, and she says, oh, Peggy, I found out I have hepatitis C. And that's when the forgiveness began, because I didn't want her to have that disease. I didn't want her to die. I didn't want her, you know, I didn't want the pain of that. You know, it just all of a sudden I started like feeling that burden lifted, you know. So that was like one of the most important lessons in my life about that. You know, it's okay. I don't have to use over anything. And I'm trying to love this woman unconditionally, but I still have those feelings, but I'm willing to work on it today. And, you know, I want to do another fifth step. I haven't done the one in the workbook yet, but I want to do that. So, you know, I've looked at it. And I really thank you for your patience and respect. You all have been so respectful sitting there quietly. Thank you.
Second speaker will be Kalia.
Good morning, family. My name is Khalil. I'm an addict.
Hey, Khalil.
Thank God I'm clean today. Thank God for this program, Narcotics Anonymous, saves my life on a daily basis. I'd like to thank everybody for, like, showing up for some growth, you know what I'm saying? Because early in the morning, you know, I find that everywhere I go, it seems that I'm speaking at 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm doing either a tradition or a step. And for me, and it's just for me, early in the morning, people don't even want to get up. And steps are very important. They talk about how steps is the way to recover, but it's kind of empty in here. But the bottom line is, who's here is supposed to be here, and it's not that important to me that there's a lot of people here. What's important to me is that I'm here. Thanks a lot for sharing, Peggy, because I was sitting over there when you was talking about you was an accountant. And I was saying, I need an accountant until you talked about you did your your last fifth step and talk about how you were stealing money and shit. You know, I said, damn, thank God for the fifth step, you know what I'm saying? Shared it with me and another human being, that's what she did, you know, and I got some, but thanks a lot for sharing. What I'd like to do is basically talk about how I got to the fifth step and what the fifth step means to me in my life, and it was important that I had a sponsor who had a working knowledge of the steps and this, you know, this program of Narcotics Anonymous, because without any guidance, I'm going to tell you, I would have been lost, and I mean, at step ones. You know, and I like the fact that my sponsor was one of those paper pen and dictionary sponsors. You know, he was one of those people who shared with you, listen, this is the way to recover. You know what I'm saying? As many people as there are in the rooms, that's how many different approaches there are to this thing called recovery. But he said the way to recover is through the steps. And he had me, started me off with the spiritual principles that existed in the steps. You know, he introduced me to that. And basically, you know, it was something that I needed, because the bottom line is I found out as I kept coming that I had an aim and a goal, and it was to get some spirituality in my life, some spiritual existence, and he helped me out, and I'm so glad. You know, sponsorship is the backbone of this fellowship, you know what I'm saying? It's important that we get one, it's important that we use one, and it's important that we help our sponsor too, because it's a two-way street. But my sponsor introduced me to some spiritual principles, and then that first step was spiritual principles like honesty, acceptance, and surrender. And the second step came some faith and some hope. And then the third step came a spiritual principle, which was that of trust for me. And the fourth step, we talked about courage, which led me and helped me to do a fifth step with integrity. You know what I'm saying? And integrity is that spiritual principle that stands out in the fifth step for this addict. You know, I remember looking at when I had the opportunity after doing, you know, the first four steps, when I had approached the fifth step, looking at the fifth step as a confession step, you know what I'm saying? you know, I had to tell on myself. I had to tell somebody. I had to let somebody know. And I remember how, in reading, see, I could talk about my next fifth step and how, in reading literature, it talked about how in the first step, when I admitted something, I did it in utter desperation. But in the fifth step, I had so much spiritual guidance. I had such a sponsor who was willing to help me maintain some information, that it was when I did the fifth step and I had to admit it this time, to admit was done voluntarily. You understand? I remember how, like I said, because that dictionary that my sponsor put in front of me in the beginning, and I did that first admitting, that in first made that first admission, it read like, to admit one entrance. And then another definition said to confess. You know what I'm saying? And my thing was, where I come from, it wasn't about telling on yourself. It wasn't about letting nobody know where you was, who you was, how you did it, and what you did it for. It was just about getting what you had to get and going on to the next one. But I had a purpose now, because see, my purpose was, I didn't want to use anymore. My purpose was, I wanted to stay clean. I wanted to stop hurting. I wanted to exist in this life that I'd never really lived until I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. I am that addict who thought he had it going on for so long, but when I stepped up to, I'm talking about to the plate of life, you know, see, because I believe that I've never started living once again until I came here. You know what I'm saying? I believe that. I truly believe that there was nothing but existence for me until I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And yes, you're going to hear me say Narcotics Anonymous. You're going to hear me talk about Narcotics Anonymous, because Narcotics Anonymous is my way of life. It's not a bridge back to life to me. It's not a second chance. It's like, it's not a shot in the arm with life. It is the way of life, the way I live, the only way I know how, because see, it's done so good for me. So when I got to the fifth step, it wasn't so bad for me. See, because to admit to the God of my understanding, because in the third step I had my introduction. You understand what I'm saying? And the spiritual principle allowed me to be able to know that he would do things for me that I couldn't do for myself. So it wasn't a problem. It wasn't a bad thing to tell him what was going on. And not so much because it says in our basic text that why should we have to tell God? He already knows this stuff we rationalize. You know what I'm saying? The bottom line is making that admission to let him know that you know, and to show the trust. And see, because we talk about, you know, giving praises where they do, but then when it's happened, when we call up to do it, we forget. We like to take credit. We like to take, you know, like stand up and it was about me. You know, I'm the one who did this shit. But I remember that when I did that in the first step, they talked about powerlessness, you know, and unmanageability, be it the dictionary definition, once again, the inability to control. You know what I'm saying? I remember in the first step how important it was for me, this addict, to, you know, say it is about Khalil. That's right, I did it. Because I in the beginning thought I woke myself up in the morning. You know, thought it was all about me. The sun didn't shine unless Khalil was there. You know what I'm saying? And then when I started taking a look at it, even in the second step, when it talks about coming to believe, you know what I'm saying? Coming to believe that a power greater than myself can do something for me that I couldn't do for myself. I'm talking about, you know, actually being willing to do something right for a change. You know what I'm saying? Having some hope, because I never had hope. All I knew how to do was smoke crack, drink wine, smoke a little marijuana, because yeah, I stopped smoking marijuana when I started smoking crack. But I shot coke and I shot dope and I took pills. And you know, I did this kind of thing, you know, not knowing what I was up against, but I couldn't stop, because the power greater than myself that I'll talk about that had me caught, not caught up, but trapped in the grips of a disease that I knew nothing about, didn't let me see the ugly side of addiction. You know what I'm saying? What I found out is that In this process, in my life, there are two powers. There's a higher power and there's a lower power. You know what I'm saying? And I have to say this, and I always say it. I don't care what forum, type forum I'm in. I'm standing here in the convention and I say it still. Respect your disease, because it too is a power greater than yourself. It wants you back and it wants you dead. And if you don't believe me, take a look at where you came from and then take a look at yesterday when that little something happened. You know what I'm saying? Because see, it's always working. It's always working. It's a little something that's going to go on in, during the course of the day that just don't seem to fit the pattern that you've already put forth into action. Just don't seem like it's supposed to be there. That's your disease doing its thing. You see, your disease knows its job, and believe it or not, it's always doing it. It works 24/7, and the bottom line is it ain't nothing. I'm not going to say it ain't nothing we can do, you see, because we got something that works for us now. That power greater than ourselves has put something in our lives, like us. This is a we fellowship. You know what I'm saying? Narcotics Anonymous is a God-given program. And what happens is we get a chance to work each other. We get a chance to help each other. We get a chance to free ourselves. We get a chance to have good times at the things we're doing that will help us better our lives and better our conditions. Ain't nothing strange in here except for the fact that we don't know what the fuck is going on, but we need to ask questions, because they told me in the beginning, the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. So back to that sponsor I'm talking about, who is so important in my life, because he's actually giving me some guidance, and he's not doing no more than what the program suggests. See, because I read literature, and in IP-11, it talks about what a sponsor is and what a sponsor isn't. It says a sponsor is simply a guide through the 12 steps of recovery. And what's going on with me and for me is that I have to utilize them, see, because I don't know anything about living life on life terms. I don't know anything about how to arrest my disease one day at a time. I don't know nothing about staying away from the next one. See, because when I was using, I was in the midst of using, and was my mind frame, my thoughts was on the next one. And as a result of, you know, that, I suffered a lot of pain. I did a lot of things, and I hurt people, and I most of all hurt myself. You know what I'm saying? So when I got to a third step, it wasn't too hard. Because see, like I said, in the second step, those spiritual principles of faith and hope, they started to come, you know, to light. You know what I'm saying? Because see, you people were that power greater than myself in the beginning. You people helped me stand up, because I came in here on my knees. I came in here, I like to talk, say that I came in here looking like a mechanic, didn't know shit about cars. Beat up from the feet up, glued up from the shoe up. But the bottom line is I came here with a desire, because I was hurting so bad. And all I wanted to do was stop. But I didn't know how until I came in here. You people started sharing that good information. You know what I'm saying? Because I was willing to listen. And, you know, I got the belief that there was a power greater than me that could do for me that I couldn't do for myself. Then the third step came into play. You know, and what it called on was trust, because it talked about making a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him. You know what I'm saying? It talked about me doing something, allowing something to do for me what I couldn't do for myself. It talked about when I felt like I couldn't handle it, giving it, turning it over. You know what I'm saying? And allowing God, that God of my understanding, to do that, which I couldn't do, so that I could move on in this process. See, because in one of these steps, it talks about we cannot afford to pause. You know what I'm saying? And what that meant for me was I couldn't stop, you know what I'm saying, because I couldn't handle it. I had to put some trust in something. And at this point, it was the God of my understanding. I put trust in the fact that I know, because I know we can do it. At this point, because I remember in the third, when the third step came about, The only thing that I wanted to know how to do was talk to the God of my understanding. And I remember going to my aunt who go to church every day, you know what I'm saying? Bible study, Wednesday choir practice, Thursday, whatever they do, you know, in church, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't frequent church, but whatever they do, she was there like on a daily basis. You know, she attended church like she went to work. Oh, yeah, she did the tapes and stuff like that. But I knew that she had a contact with the God, regardless of whether it was mine, but she had contact with her God. So I asked her, how do you pray? I'm 35 years old, 36 years old at the time, you know what I'm saying? And believe it or not, you know, I've had experiences with many gods at this time, you know what I'm saying? I had experiences with, and I didn't know how to really talk to them. All I knew was emergency prayers. Oh God, if you get me out of this one, I won't do it no more. If you just get me off E, let me find $10. Don't let the judge remand me. Please don't get me caught up in the, please don't let this motherfucker shoot me. You know what I'm saying? That kind of stuff. And they were all prayers in emergency. And then I'm like, what she told me was that just talk to him. You know, and it made it real simple. See, because I'm so used to talking. You know, I stood on the corner, I stood in the lines, I stayed in crack houses and shooting galleries until noise started bothering me. You know, paranoia set in. I was one of the talkers. You know what I'm saying? I was one of the people they wanted to put out at first, you know, when, you know, I get to talking and stuff. But, you know, that changed too. Like, you know, progression set in. You know, I started getting nervous and shit. Be on the 17th floor. They got bars on the window. No fire escapes. And I'm talking about somebody coming through the windows and shit like that, you know. But what happened was I got an idea of how to talk to my God, and I ran with it because it wasn't no problem with me. I had so much wanted to communicate with the God of my understanding, and it was like real good. I felt real good after I would talk to the God of my understanding. You know what I'm saying? It was like he was answering, and I know that God don't come down and sit at the table and say, well, you know, Khalil, you know, I know this, but I know that the God of my understanding talks to me, and I had to go ask questions once again. And, you know, you people shared with me that the God of my understanding talks to me through you. You know what I'm saying? And so that meant that I had to come in here and listen more intently, more in depth, because, see, I'm once again telling you, I wanted so much to know what the God of my understanding had in store for me. So I came to meetings early, I sat up front, and I did what was necessary to stay alive and free, because at this point, that's what it was all about for me. I had lived a horrid life. I'd been through the mill, you know what I'm saying? And I just didn't want to do that anymore. So, you know, came on a fourth step, and fourth step is spirit. The principle of the fourth step for this addict is that of courage. You know, but I'll be honest with you, I had heard so many people talk, because I attend meetings on a daily basis. I'm like in my 12th year of recovery, and I make meetings like every day. You know, I had heard so much about it, and I hear people talking about how they was afraid to do it and this and that. Listen, I was so happy to get involved in cleaning up the mess that I had made, the wreckage. I'm talking about the wreckage of the past. But what I found out in doing the fourth step was that I wasn't all that bad. I got some good characteristics, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm actually not all that bad. But in writing it down and taking a look at me, it helped me to free me. And that's basically how I look at the fifth step, as a freedom step. You understand what I'm saying? Because I was able to do some things now. I was able to, you know, like, actually exhale. You know, because I remember how I would equate, you know, like, On this side, I look at the fifth step is like when I told my mother for the very first time that I had a drug problem. You know what I'm saying? I was able to shed the long sleeve shirts in August. You know, I didn't feel like I had to hide. You know what I'm saying? Because I was one of those people, I really stayed, you know, what I thought was like in the closet. You know what I'm saying? I stayed closed up because I couldn't let you know that I had done these bad things. You know, so what happened was, in the fifth step, I had to free myself once again. I had to let, and in telling the God of my understanding, is just because, see, it helped me by telling him to tell you, somebody else. See, because I believe in the God of my understanding. I got a lot of trust in him. You know what I'm saying? And if I can't give it up to him, I can't give it up to you. You know what I'm saying? But I was able to, you know, share with it. And I mean, it was some deep, dark shit in the closet, you know, in my fourth step. It was some stuff that at the time that I did my first with Peggy, I couldn't share. And I had did some wild stuff to that man, you know. And had I shared with him my fifth step, I would have been going out of order because I would have been doing somewhat of a ninth step. You know what I'm saying? And so I chose somebody else at the time. And before the It Works How and Why, they didn't put a lot of emphasis in the basic text on that you had to do a sponsor, do it with your sponsor. They said anyone that you feel comfortable with, which made it possible for me to do a fifth step. You know, I kind of thought I was going to come up in here and it wasn't going to be too many people, but it wasn't going to be as much people as there is. You know, my thing is that, you know, I like to be seen. I tell the truth. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I like to talk about staying clean. I like to talk about living. I like to talk about what's going on. You know, my sponsor today, man, he's gotten me into a mold somewhat, because there used to be a time that all I talked about was, you know, surface stuff. You know, all I did was give you programs. Oh, you know, because basically I've been, man, like I said, I do reading, I do research, because my sponsor now talks about becoming an informed member of what keeps you alive and free. You know what I'm saying? That's why he's my sponsor. You know, and he, my sponsor, only has 2 months more clean time than myself. But see, one thing about him is he tells the truth. You know what I'm saying? He tells the truth and he allows me to be me. But he gets in my stuff. And see, I'm that type of addict that needs that. I need somebody to put the little foot in my ass sometime. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be, I got to be real. Because see, I'm not perfect. I didn't come up in here, you know, with the $2 million in property. I didn't come up in here glittering and all glamorous and stuff. You know what I'm saying? I didn't come up in here with teeth in my mouth. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you the truth. Look. I needed help. I still need help. Because y'all tell me, y'all constantly remind me that those who fail to remember are doomed to repeat. You know, and it's all right for me to talk about me. See, because I, today, am the most important person in my life. And only I can do for myself what nobody else can do for me. You know what I'm saying? But you may hold the information that I need so that I can do the things that I have to do for me. But if I don't step up to you and ask you for it, you don't know what's going on. If I hold on to that real smirky face like, get the fuck away from me, you what? You ain't going to help me. But I need help. And I always talk, people who need people are the luckiest people in the world. But people who know they need people are truly blessed. You know what I'm saying? And what I'm saying when I say that is the fact that, yo, we all in here together. We in this shit together. And it's the depends on how we're willing to carry the message and to help another sick and suffering, that this process is going to continue to thrive. I'm just so happy to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous, man. You know, and I'm really grateful for this region, CNP, Chesapeake and Potomac Region, Narcotics Anonymous, for finally asking me to share. Believe it or not, you know, like I say, I like to talk, and I do a lot of it. But this is my first Narcotics Anonymous convention, you know, doing a workshop. You know, and I look forward to maybe even doing another one, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm not just bragging, but I come around here and I do some work. You know what I'm saying? I love this thing, you know, because of what Narcotics Anonymous has done for me. I want to carry the message. I want to pass it on. I want to let people know that it's all right. You know what I'm saying? It is all right to be who you are. But being who you can be after working on change is the motherfucker. Don't let me do it. You know, we got a thing, right? Because, you know, my sponsor and I are long-winded. And sometimes, you know, we got to allow this process to take its course, because he got a little sign up here that he'll slide up and say, 5 minutes. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just letting you know, sponsor, before you start looking at your clock and shit. I tell you, I got to talk about it. You know, I have a family member who's decided to pick up on some of my old behaviors and stuff, you know. And, you know, I want so much to save this person, but I have to remember that he too has a God of his own, you know. And I'm not a savior in this process. All I do is what I consider to be God's will for me. I'll carry the message to the best of my ability, you know what I'm saying? I'll let you know the hurt that I felt when I did the shit that you're doing, you know. I'll let you know that you don't have to live like that no more. There's a better way of life. And I'll let you know it because, see, somebody let me know it. And this person, I had to go like on a 12-step call, and I was not comfortable in the situation that was presented me just by trying to be there for somebody that is not willing. I feel good up in this Narcotics Anonymous meeting, see, because just for today, I haven't used. And I ain't going to another crack house. I don't care who it is, my father. Whew, boy, listen. Once again, I want to thank Chesapeake Potomac Region for asking me to share my experience, strength, and hope on the fifth step. And I want to thank you people just for being here for me. I'm not just talking about now. I'm talking about all of Narcotics Anonymous being here for me for the number of years that I've been in this process. See, because I'm one of those individuals that get on people's nerves, you know what I'm saying? But y'all allowed me to be who I am. Y'all told me to let y'all love me until I learned to love myself. And just for today, I'm liking myself a little better than I did when I first came around here. I'm able to let people know what's going on with me without having a problem with it, because, see, I'm tired of the problems. I want to deal with the solutions. And thanks for letting me share.